Hey.
He's parking the car.
What must be about people on vacation?
Really? Wow. I guess there is. It's first week.
It's usually in park lot.
Out. Whatever. Hey,
morning,
everybody.
Hey, how are y'all doing this morning?
Well, I know we still got a few coming in, but we've also got a bunch of people on vacation, so that means everybody's going to have to talk a lot more. Clint?
Sorry?
I said everybody that looks like we've got a lot of people missing on vacation, so that means people are going to have to talk more, and I said your name.
Oh, well, okay.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started. We'll have a word of prayer. So today we're going to talk about Bible study. And so hopefully it'll be something that'll be beneficial for everybody. And Clint, why don't you start out with saying a prayer? How about that?
Sure. Lord God, God in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much for another beautiful day to allow us to live. We're thankful for an opportunity to come to this place to study your word with those of my precious faith. We're thankful, Lord, for each one that's here today. And each family represented, we're thankful for the health and the safety that you've granted us. We pray that you continue to be with us and with our loved ones. We're thankful for this opportunity for this class. We're thankful for Jim and for David and their willingness and desire to teach this class. We pray that you be with Jim this morning as he guides us and be with us as listeners and participants, that we will pay attention and contribute to the class, and most importantly, take something from it that we can apply to our lives, and that we'll do that, and then we'll share that with others around us. We're thankful, Lord, for your son and for the sacrifice that he made for us. We pray that that's the most important thing in our lives at all times, Father, that we never take that for granted. We pray that we will live our lives so that others want to know what we're so excited about and want to know more about you. We pray that you forgive us of our sins so we can have the right relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Okay, so handout. David, yes, sir. Jonathan, if you'll take one of those and pass it back. And Travis, this side's a little light over here. Pass those back after you get them, and that's for today's lesson. Okay, the lesson is, in your outline, we had it as number 7. That was where I misnumbered that, and it's actually lesson 6. Over 200 channels available and nothing to watch. In parentheses, Bible study with your children. So that's our lesson for today. And so what we're going to talk about is Bible study. But you know, if you have a chance to kind of look at my outline, and I kind of try and go by that to get us started. What's important when you are building a building and you want it to be something that withstands the test of time?
Foundation.
Foundation? Why is foundation important?
That's what holds it up.
That's what holds it up, okay? So you got to have a good, strong foundation. That kind of reminds me of the scripture that talks about, do you build your house on the sand or you build it on the rock, right? So that's a biblical principle with regard to our spiritual lives. But we also talk about a building, and you build a strong foundation so that something's going to be able to withstand it, right? Okay, foundation's important. What else is important?
Planning.
Man, thank you. I'm so glad you said that, Greg. Why is planning important?
You got to have a diagram to go by. You got to have a goal in mind. You got to have all the details out.
Yeah, you got to have a diagram to go by. You got to have all the details worked out. Everybody's got to know their part in making all that come together. Because you know where you want to ultimately get to, right? But everybody's got to know their part in bringing that building together. So you got a good, strong foundation. Planning is important in making sure that building lays out the way it should. What else is important in having a good, strong structure? Anybody ever built a house? Everybody ever seen a house being built? Everybody ever seen construction at a factory?
The right materials.
Man, you are just hitting every nail on the head this morning that I want. The right materials. Why is that important? And give it to me both ways.
We were laying travertine yesterday, and if I didn't use the right mortar mix to withstand exterior elements, I'd have some really goofy-looking travertine after a good pre-install.
So using the right material. How many times have you seen a house or a building or something, and it's just really apparent that somebody used sub-quality material to build that structure, and it's fallen down, it's compromised before it really ever gets a good foothold? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you've looked at houses. I mean, we bought houses that were used. You buy a used house, you can look and you can kind of tell how long it's been built, what kind of effort and material and planning was put into building that house because of the quality of that material. So why are all these things important with regard to building something?
Because you don't want it to fall.
Because you don't want it to fall. Okay? Because you want it to be able to stand the test of time. Because you want it to be, you know, strong. Because you know that if you take care of it, that it's gonna be there. It's gonna be something that you're gonna be able to count on. It's gonna be quality. So what does all of that have to do with Bible study?
I got one thing to add.
Okay.
Change orders.
Change orders. Does that ever happen?
If something isn't working right, you change. You fix it.
Okay. That's a good point too. Something not working right, you fix it. So you get so far along in the process, and this isn't going to work. This needs to be fixed. It needs to be changed. You make that change. So why is all this important? And what am I going for here, do you think, with regard to Bible study and building stuff? What do y'all think? Come on, somebody else other than Greg, answer that question for me. And I appreciate your answers, Greg. Come on.
Bible study needs to be your foundation.
Bible study needs to be the foundation. Who's it need to be a foundation for, Kelly?
For everyone in your family.
Yeah. It needs to be a foundation for mom and dad. And as the kids see that it's a foundation for mom and dad, then that's a foundation that you want to establish for them as well, right? Okay, so now just take that same analogy of building a house and apply that to Bible study and what's going on in our homes with regard to Bible study. So the question is, how are we doing? Question is, how are we doing? I think a lot of times in life we're doing a whole lot of reacting. Do y'all feel that way? Things are happening fast and we're doing a lot of reacting. There's some people that live their whole lives that way and they just react to absolutely everything that happens. And then there's other people that are very strict planners. And they're very strict planners because they want to be able to make sure that they maximize every minute, every second. I used to be really bad about that. I mean, I've told y'all that before, but I was. And I was like, boom, 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 all the time. And I don't know. I think you've got to find the happy medium there. You can't just go through life bouncing off the walls. You've got to be able to plan for what's going on. At part of the title of the lesson there, when we sit over 200 channels and nothing to watch, you know, the reason that we talked about that was just the distraction that has infiltrated our lives That is content. And that's the way I want to phrase it. Not TV, but content. And why do you think I'm calling it content instead of TV? It does. It really does. It applies to everything that we consume. So give me some examples of content.
YouTube.
YouTube. Man, you hit the nail on the head. YouTube. It's right there in my notes in the third paragraph. Research says almost 5 billion videos are watched on YouTube every single day. Wrap your head around that, folks. Every single day, 5 billion videos. YouTube gets over 300 million visitors per day. So, do the math. If there's that many visitors and that many videos being watched, how long's the video and how many videos are they watching? And how much time are people spending watching that content? Okay, that's YouTube. What's other forms of content that people are watching? Are consuming, I should say.
Twitch or Fortnite or anything like that. I mean, like, NFL teams have banned it because it's consuming so much of the players' times.
Yeah, so games and whatever, right? Okay?
Facebook.
Just scrolling through, seeing what everybody's doing, commenting, liking, blah, blah, blah. And you do that for a little while, the next thing you know, you've spent 45 minutes on Facebook and you've not done anything other than thumb through Facebook. What are some other things that are content that consume our time?
Just devices in general.
Yeah, I think just devices in general and texting. And I mean, yeah, I know we've got to communicate well and all those types of things. Different apps, different ways that we are able to consume content, different things that we do to interact with other people, just all kinds of opportunities to consume content. Debbie?
Well, here's the thing. When your kids picture you, are they going to picture you holding a Bible or holding a cell phone?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And yes, I know we have Bibles on our apps. And again, there's nothing wrong with Bible on an app, and I look at my Bible on my app a lot. But what I really like is I like taking my Bible to be able to make notes in it as well. I like being able to reference another scripture to a scripture that I've been looking at. And for me personally, I mean, I like this. I've had this Bible rebound once already. I've got lots of notes in this Bible and I kind of know where things are. So for me personally, I do like that to Debbie's point. But my point is, we're consuming lots of content. And you think about all the things that we just talked about, how does Bible study fit into that mix? Based on the content that we are consuming on a daily basis, how much of that content is Bible study related? Nobody has to answer that. But that's just a question that I want us all to ask ourselves. Because I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there where we're all consumed with everything else that's going on in our lives. And the Bible and God gets the short end of the stick. Y'all ever do that? If we're just being totally honest? Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine there not being anybody in this room that hasn't experienced that at some point in time.
I would say, too, like, when you look at all that stuff, when you're on the phone, you're looking at social media and everything, and, you know, even playing games or whatnot, when you wrap up that session, how do you feel? Do you feel like you're not enough? Do you feel like you're not pretty enough? You don't have enough? You don't have as nice a life as these people that travel all over and look beautiful every second of the day? Or if there's a Snapchat filter, you're never going to look nearly as nice as that Snapchat filter. How do you feel versus when you engage in Bible study or in a family activity that brings you closer together and you actually talk to one another? What feeling do you get?
Yeah.
You're important to your children. but you're not important to the people on the internet. You're just not.
Right, that's a good point. And I mean, how many instances have there been out there of people, a lot of times younger people, that have fallen into the very trap that you're talking about, April, where they have created this world where everybody thinks everything is lollipops and gumdrops and look at me and everything's awesome, and then lo and behold, they end up committing suicide or something because their online world and their real life are just 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Or to your point of what makes us feel good about who we are and what we really are and what matters and what doesn't matter. Those are the things that we really need to think about. And if we don't spend any time in this content right here, how can we be what God wants us to be? How's that going to be possible, Anthony?
You can't do it without spending time there.
No, we can't. We absolutely can't. How can we have purpose in life? Is Instagram or Facebook or YouTube going to help define our purpose in life?
Or His purpose.
Or God's purpose? Yeah, it might define our purpose, you know, but it won't define God's purpose. We're going to be able to define God's purpose in us through the Word. Travis?
I heard Nick Saban address a bunch of kids one time, and he said that there's three things you do through time. You either spend your time, you waste your time, or you invest your time. And what we're talking about is making our children understand that Bible study is an investment. Which that's 1 Timothy 4:7-8, when Paul says to Timothy, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise to the present life and for the life also to come.
And what's that verse again?
That's 1 Timothy 4:7-8.
Read that again, please.
Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Okay. Yeah. You either spend your time, you waste your time, or you invest your time. I like that too. And it's really easy to do those two things before you do the third thing. Spend, waste, and not really invest. And so as we think about Bible study, as we think about the importance of Bible study, I guess the first point that I want to really drive home is if it is not important to us, how can we ever hope that it will be important to our children? If Bible study is not important to us, how can we ever have any hope of it being important to our children? I don't think we can. On the bottom of page one there, I've got example and leadership in Bible study. And you know, I've told you some of the shortcomings that I feel like I've had in my life. And, you know, I know where a lot of y'all are. You're in a job. You're busy. You got a lot going on. You got multiple kids. You're trying to think about, you know, doing everything you got to do for your family. You want to provide for them. You want to make sure they've got what they need and some of what they want. And you're working, 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 working. You're trying to make sure everything happens. But it's real easy in all of that for the Bible study to get lost if you're not careful. It really is. You know, I guarantee I was guilty of that. I was guilty of that. And how do you put yourself in a position where you make it a priority? And my question is, what kind of example are you in Bible study? How do our children see us investing, to Travis's point and Nick Saban, how do our children see us investing our time when we're home? Do they know we have a special place we go when we study? Do they ever see us study our Bibles or talk about Bible study? And then I listed Proverbs 29:2, and it says, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but the wicked rule, the people groan. Are we going to be righteous people? Are we going to live our lives in a righteous way so that our children will understand what is important? We have to be part of helping the righteous to increase And we have to start this practice in our home. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a scripture that we are all very familiar with. And I'm afraid sometimes some of these scriptures, we read them so much, they just become rote to us. And we really don't give them the thought and consideration that we should. So what I want to do is talk a little bit more in detail about that this morning. And then we'll have some assignments. If you go through the rest of the lesson for Wednesday night, I've got some assignments that are in there that I want y'all to talk about when you get home. And also work on some of these assignments. We'll have more scriptures that we'll talk about. But the thing that I want to focus on first this morning is this next part about 2 Timothy 2:15. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Accurately handling the word of truth. Okay, so when we read that scripture, we understand that, you know, we're really getting a lot of instruction with regard to what is expected of us and the desired outcome that we should have. What I want to do here is basically break that verse down and have each of us think more specifically, and I want to get your thoughts, so be thinking about it. I listed a few scriptures down through there, and you can certainly write more as you go through this material, but I just gave you a one or two on each one of those things, and we've talked about some of these things before, but go back to our house example now, and what kind of house are we building, and what kind of foundation do we have? And what kind of materials are we using? And how do we want this thing to be able to endure the test of time, the trouble and trials and tribulations? You know, what happens, we'll go back to our example of thinking 30 years down the road. Let's don't go quite 30 years down the road, okay? Let's go take your child and put them 20 years down the road. Okay, Clint? So Marcus is how old?
Between
26
and 20 years.
26. Can y'all imagine Marcus at 26? How about Neely?
She's 31.
Woo! So Neely will be Nathan's age. So right now today, Neely's 31 and Marcus is 26. What do their lives look like? You know, what have you and your wife done with regard to putting the kinds of things in place that we've talked about? And I call them out, but I want every one of you to think exactly the same way. I want you to think about what you're doing today and the kind of impact that's going to have on your kids at this point. So, 26 and 31. That's about where our kids are right now. Nathan is 31. He'll be 32 in September. Yeah, and then Aaron will be 28 in November. So. Whew. And it happens really fast. Trust me. It happens so fast, Anthony, you will not believe how fast it's going to happen. So that's why it's important, these things we're talking about today, you get them right. Because all these other things that you think are really important, like how what your house is and what you're driving and what you got and all that stuff, it's not important. There's only one thing that really matters, and this is it. The foundation that you're laying for these kids as parents is everything, isn't it? It's absolutely everything. So let's talk about the first thing, diligence. We've talked about diligence before, but you know, as it relates to Bible study and that scripture, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We're building a house. We're thinking about the foundation. We're thinking about the materials. We want it to last a long time. We want it to last when Marcus and Neely have tough things that they run into in life. We want it to last when... you know, a child and their spouse has issues in their marriage. We want it to last when they're dealing with losing a job or whatever the situation might be in their lives. So now as we think about that, and we think about these words, what does it mean? I've listed Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established, in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That kind of goes back to the what's important to us. You know, are we going to be watching video games or are we going to be working on things that are important to our family? Right.
Hey Jim, just another little fact, but I'd like to throw in there while we're thinking about this.
Go.
And it's something that I learned when I first became a Christian. I realized that, I mean, as a parent, I guess in general, you see how your parents did certain things that you may want to improve upon, right?
Right.
Every dad is not a really dad in my mind unless they think in their mind how are they going to improve their situation over the way they have, right? But one thing that always kind of I held on to as I got older was, man, I wish I wouldn't have watched too much TV. I wish my dad would have taught me more. I wish my parents would have spent more time with me teaching me certain principles. And something we can keep in mind here is that somebody's going to teach your children
something.
Somebody's going to teach you, and it's either going to be you or it's going to be, you know, in my world, it was the A-Team and Dukes of Hazzard, you know, that's where MacGyver, that's where I got my life principles, right? I feel like in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So there's, and it's really serious. I mean, you want your child to let social media train him up and be able to deal with how his problems come up in his marriage, or do you want him to use biblical scriptures, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to teach your child. Do you want it to be you or do you want it to be the world?
Yep, absolutely. Don't disagree with that. Did you have something?
Well, one of the things that I think about is when you talk about how are they going to be able to handle it. The issues they go through.
Yes.
How are they going to handle it when I'm gone?
Yeah. Did y'all hear that? David said, "How are you going to handle it when he's gone? When you as a parent are gone, how are they going to handle it?"
You know, it's one thing for us to think now because our kids rely on us a lot, particularly when they're younger. And as everybody in here will learn, on the condition that the Lord allows them to stay alive and allows their children to stay alive, eventually our kids get their own lives.
Yeah.
And so they will make a ton of decisions without us as parents.
Right.
But if they ever have questions about something or they want to talk to us about something, we're just a phone call away.
Right.
But one of these days that won't be true.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've thought about that. I know Debbie has, too. I've thought about that before. You know, there's a part of me that makes me sad about that. Not because I'll be gone, but they don't have a parent anymore.
Oh, I know.
They have Debbie.
Yeah.
They have Debbie. But,
no, I get that.
So that's why this job ends up being so important. And so often that we don't really begin to grasp the gravity of that until we're ready to take our children and say, okay, it's your turn to fly. And wow, our job is to teach them how to fly. I always told my boys, my job is to teach you how to fly. Your job is to fly. And if I finish that sentence, your job is to fly on your own.
So, and if somebody doesn't have that instruction, if somebody doesn't have that direction and that guidance, at some point in our lives, we've got to decide for ourselves, what's my life going to be? What am I going to do?
Well, I see a whole bunch of those people in my court all the time.
Yeah.
That didn't do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I'll give you a real example. I grew up in a family where my father loved me, but he was not a Christian. So he didn't give me any kind of example as a Christian man would provide. So my mother was all of that example to us. You know, and she was a great example. She wasn't perfect, just like none of us are. But from a spiritual standpoint, you know, while she was still in the game really good, I mean, she was there in her actions and all the things that she would do. So David makes a good point there.
Well, I just mentioned this to her. We were in a restaurant and saw a couple and a young child, I don't know how old he was, 18 months?
Yeah, year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay. And he is jabbering. He's really jabbering. He's just talking. He's talking a mile a minute. Not saying anything,
right,
but talking a mile a minute. Very exuberant child. Not complaining, not crying. He's trying to get conversation out of his parents. Both of them stuck to their phones. Both of them.
Not interacting.
And so he looked at me and I waved. And he starts waving at me. A stranger. He looks behind me because there's some folks behind him that are talking. And he keeps talking and talking and talking. And he finally got some attention from his mom. And so what we observed.
She handed him a phone.
You're right. And so here we observed a snapshot in the life of this couple. And you know, if that's the only time that ever happened, everything's going to be okay. But the truth of the matter is we end up making those things. And I'm as guilty. I'm guilty of that. And it is easy. But when we think about those snapshots,
Of what's going on
in our lives, trading, because we're trading something that is very, very precious for whatever satisfaction we get from looking at a farm.
Or just whatever.
Or anything else.
Whatever.
Right, anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything more important than time for us to give to our kids.
That's true. So as we think about this scripture in particular, 2 Timothy 2:15, and we break this down, when it relates to being the right kind of example in diligence, what does that mean to you? How is diligence going to be manifest in your family's life so that your kids know that Bible study is important? What does diligence look like? Okay. And by that you mean give me an actionable thing, Greg.
Having a plan, sticking to the plan.
Okay. A plan and stick to the plan. So that basically means you're going to say, okay, every day, it doesn't matter what's going to happen, every day we as a family are going to sit down and we're going to look at our Bibles. We're going to turn the television off. We're not going to have any distractions. We're going to be together and we're going to dedicate some time to our Bible study. Now, later on in this lesson, I've given you some ideas about something that I want to see if y'all give it a try. It's not something I did. It's something I wish I had done. But it's not something I did, but I think it might have merit. You might be able to improve upon what I've suggested. And as you go home and read the lesson, you'll see what I'm talking about. We'll talk about it on Wednesday night. But I like this. Diligence is committed discipline and a plan that you stick to. Okay, what else is diligence with regard to Bible study and your children knowing it's important?
It's intentional and purposeful.
Intentional. And boy, that fits right in with what I've proposed. Good. And he hadn't seen my notes either. Intentional and purposeful. Okay? What else does diligence, what does it mean to you?
Allowing to change orders. Kid needs to study something. Sometimes it's really hard to put it down and get it out. But man, there's just so many teaching opportunities I think we pass up on.
Okay. Anything else on diligence, Carrie?
Well, I mean, it's like Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall teach your children diligently. You shall talk of it this when you sit in your house, when you lie down, when you rise up. I mean, when you're driving in the car to those activities, you've got your kids' full attention if they don't have a phone in their hand. So talk to them, or you know, you could even have them pull up on your Bible app and read a verse and talk about it.
Okay. Y'all are just...
opportunity.
Y'all are playing into my hand so unbelievably here. When y'all go back and read this, you're not going to believe it. So go home and read what I've written, because y'all are all over it. This is perfect. And I want you to see if you think it makes sense, and it will work, okay? All right, that's great. So diligence, those are all really good. And when people bring these scriptures out, I hope you're making notes in your notes too. Okay, second part of that verse, present yourself approved to God. I put out Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Okay? So as I think about that scripture, for me, when I'm thinking about approved of God. Hang on a second, I'm going to take a picture of this so I can, if I need to erase it, I can. So present yourself approved to God. How are we approved of God as it relates to Bible study? How are we approved of God? What does it say there? I mean, in just that one scripture, there's others, certainly. But true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellence, anything that's praiseworthy. What are the words that your children hear out of your mouths? You know, you ever think about, well, you just kind of overlook them and forget they're even there, and you're talking and you don't even think about what you're saying? You ever done that, Anthony? Have you? And do you think, whoops, that wasn't good. Why did I even let that out or whatever? I mean, I can't imagine there's not any of us that haven't done that. Right? Clint, did you ever do it?
I get elbowed all the time. Watch what you say. Because they're listening, and I forget that they're back there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be. They should. And she's got calluses on her left elbow from elbowing you. But seriously, we need to think about those things, because they hear and they think about who we are. And it does say something about who we seem to be and who we really, what we really are. I mean, it's easy. And, you know, there's some times where you need to just be with your husband or wife. If you got something that needs to be said, then even then you need to think about what you're going to say because of the influence you can have on them. Travis?
That word that's translated approved, the Thayer says that has something to do with the idea of being tried, but through faith and integrity. And I think when we think about trial, we often think about going through some sort of experience where something was difficult for us. But really, the Word of God, if we study it diligently, will try us. You know, we will expose ourselves to it, and we will find out we were wrong, our thinking was wrong, we need to be corrected. And for us to have true faith and integrity, it takes us diligently opening the Word of God and being honest with ourselves and determining what kind of person we are.
Yeah. So, you know, just think about yourself over the course of the last few days and the things that you said and the things that you did and the people that you associated yourself with. And did you present yourself approved to God? The thoughts that you had, the things that you did. And then think about, again, we can use other scriptures, but where I've got Philippians 4:8, are we true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable? Are we trying to live in excellence? Because again, like Kerry was talking about, there's opportunities that are there to be taught all the time. And we're teaching even when we don't think about we're teaching. And it's either good or it's bad. And like Greg said, somebody is teaching our children. It's just whether is it us or is it somebody or something else. Okay, as a workman who does not need be ashamed. So what does that mean? I put down Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also of the Greek. How does that get manifest in our lives where we are not ashamed? Workmen that are not ashamed of what we're doing in Bible study, in the way we're trying to raise our children.
Well,
when you're talking with your kids about when they're at school with their friends and they say, well, I don't want to tell them that they're wrong, or I don't want to, you know, make them feel bad because they make a different choice. And can we tell them, you know, our family makes different choices than other people that you go to school with? Our family makes different choices than other friends that you have in, within the church even, or family members. But
okay.
When they ask me, well, did you ever do that? Or, and I think that my parents would tell me, would give me an example of a character in the Bible and how they handled that. Joseph, Abraham. Did Abraham handle everything very well? No, he claimed Sarah was his sister. But later, you know, he redeems himself and it becomes a wonderful man of God that God makes these promises to that affect us today. So giving them examples of within our own lives and then also Bible characters, I think, gives them a way to not be ashamed.
Yes, and that plays into something I've suggested as part of this idea, too. Thank you very much. Y'all all read this, I'm sure, apparently. But it just makes common sense, I guess, what I'm proposing. That hopefully, you know, we're already doing, and we might even be able to incorporate in other ways as well. But need not be ashamed. You know, like, for example, if you proactively tell your kids when they're involved in sports, and they're not going to miss worship service to play in a ball game. And they just know before the season starts that if a ball game comes up on Wednesday night, they won't be there. And they know they won't be there. And that's proactive training their mind for them to understand what's going on. Because you're diligent and you want to be approved of God, and you shouldn't be ashamed of what matters and what doesn't. So then instead of it getting down to the date, because all you ever do is react as a parent, and you've not made any planning or thinking about any of this at all, and then the day rolls around when that ball game is, or that practice, or they made it through the season, they've got to go to a tournament, and the ball game's going to be on Wednesday night, you're going to say, can't do it. We got church on Wednesday night. Then they're going to have a come apart because nothing's been done to prep for that. To prepare them for that. You know, and we wish the team the best. We told the coach on the beginning of the season that if that happened, that you were going to be at worship service. Yes, sir?
Just contextually, in regards to Bible study, who's not ashamed? It's the workman, right? The command here is to be diligent, which is to exert yourself, to
yep.
work. And, you know, one of the things we've got to teach the kids as far as Bible study goes is it doesn't have to be tedious. But it's not something you do flippantly. Studying the Word of God takes some work. It takes some effort. You're going to have to spend some
yeah.
time. You're going to have to bounce ideas off of other people.
Yes.
And work that way. But that's who's not ashamed. It's the person who works diligently at studying the Word of God.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Thank you. Yeah, it should not be something that, yeah, that's just an afterthought. It should not be something that you... do because you have to, but you do it because you want to, because you understand it's important, because of the kind of character that you have in your life and you want to please God. That's good. Thank you, Travis. Okay, so anything else?
I was just going to say, we wouldn't want our surgeon to be lackadaisical about the job he does when he's got us opened up.
Right.
And you know, the truth of the matter is our souls are a whole lot more valuable than our bodies.
Yeah.
Our souls are eternal. My life is temporary. And what we're doing is trying to help our kids learn how to prepare themselves.
For eternity.
For eternity.
For this life and for eternity as well.
Right.
And then the last two parts there are accurately handling the word of truth. And again, that goes back to the point that Travis was talking about too, with regard to not only the diligence and you know the way that we go about making sure that we understand what it says so that we can take it and apply it to our lives. Again, if we can't do that as parents, and if we don't do that as parents, how can we expect our kids to understand?
Just one quick thought before we
sure.
You know, if we thought our kids' teachers at school were not doing their job, you know, we're not efficiently teaching them or teaching
right.
them well, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, whatever, we would be upset about that, and we would
right.
demand change. If our kids' coaches are doing a bad job. We speak up about that. We should do